Thank you very much for being part of the little shindig tonight, coming to you from L.A., forsaking the floor of the HNC from which rose that city back there in Texas where it's just so hot I can't believe it. God, the weather is so much better out here. I just can't believe it. I'll take 68 to 168 anytime for all my friends back there in the great state of Texas who are suffering. I'm sorry. Come west. The Pacific Ocean is right over there. Big thanks to, big thanks and much respect to Ray Bradbury for sitting in with a rookie guy who is sitting in for the great George Norrie. And I want to thank the listeners, too, who not only appreciate his writing, but were very kind and sent me some emails and said that, that they enjoyed my reading them. But I got to tell you something. It's not about the reading. It's about what's being read. And this is a brilliant man, a rational man who is just a... The combination of art and science is what makes music. The combination of art and science is what makes flight possible and spacecraft and all of the wonder and everything else. So you know what I want to do? I could talk to you about Fatah planning Iraq-style insurgency against Hamas. I know we can do all of that. The Middle East is a mess. Mr. Bradbury says we need to involve the United Nations. We're going to have to get the whole world on this one, because if we don't, then we're going to wind up with the whole world coming in on us. And they're going to be looking at us going, you didn't, when we could have. So this show is about, this is about you for the rest of the night, and we have 3 hours that I want to hear all about it from you. Anything that that you have on your mind that might further the cause of calm on this planet down just a little bit. I wish I could remember her name at this moment. I'll know it at some point, but it has been said, and it was said by somebody whose name I'm embarrassed to say that I cannot call now, that never doubt that a small handful of people can change the world, indeed, is the only thing that ever has. I think that may be true. Would you like to talk about that? If you would, then we would be happy to take a call from west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast AM.
Hi, John.
Hi there.
This is Jeff from Cibola.
Hi, Jeff.
I'm a longtime listener of the program, and I put out a small crazy newsletter on behalf of it. But I'd like to say to Ray Bradbury that I love you very much too. What an outstanding man and a great set of books. I've been inspired. You're one of the authors that has. You know, I think we have a wild future, and we'll get past all this.
You know, he's an amazing man. He was born in 1920 after 87 years of life, to be so articulate and so sharp and so right in the pocket with his thoughts.
Oh, yeah. I think that there's a lot of things that will come out of his books. There's things that are happening today. The robotics, it's going to make a leaps and bounds kind of thing.
So many of the things in the Martian Chronicles, I had read that so many years ago and had forgotten most of it.
Which... Yeah, I've got the movie here at the house, and I watch it frequently.
How does it compare to the book? Is it all right?
The movie does leave a little bit out. You know, the books are actually quite a bit deeper because, you know, the author, Ray, has, you know, there's so much. The movie would actually be longer if he was to follow his books.
Well, that's really true. You know, it's a rare event when the movie actually follows the book. But then again, there's also the mind component also, and when your imagination is engaged, and that's what makes it. Thanks for calling. We're going to take another one from, let's go to the east side of the Rockies now. Good evening. You're on Coast to Coast AM.
Hey, John, this is Jerry. I'm listening on WVOM on the coast of Maine, other side of the United States.
Your weather's pretty good over there, too, I bet.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's about 55 degrees right now.
Excellent.
You know, Ray Bradbury, he's a national treasure. I've been listening to this show for over a decade, and that interview hit me as one of the most significant interviews I've ever heard. Congratulations on getting him on the program, and I was just wondering how tough it must have been to get an interview with Ray Bradbury.
You know what? I'm too much of a fan to ever be much of a star at anything. And when the opportunity came to sit in for George, which I was delighted to do, I just asked, any chance of speaking with Ray Bradbury? I was like, ooh, he's been on the show before. It's like, I know. Any possible way that we could do this? I will ask. And then the next thing I knew, it was I just about, well, to use an old expression from the Stone Age, I just about flipped out when I heard he was going to be on the show. I really did. So it was, yeah, it was great. It's like when you're in the presence of a genius like that, it's really easy to say something stupid. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you didn't. And everything that came out of his mouth was, I mean, it's just pure knowledge, and it's just pure. It's like the truth. It verifies itself. I mean, what he said on immigration, too many Hispanics and not enough Mexicans, and, love being the ultimate grail or the ultimate goal in life. I mean, that was just incredible.
Well, isn't it the truth, though? You know, it's like it's your day. What do you want to do with it? You want to go out there with you want to love your work? You want to hate your work? You want to grow an ulcer? You want to, how do you want to handle it? It's your life. How do you want to walk through it? And the thing is the consistency of the man's life. It's not like he's up one minute, but oh, his work drifted into some dark vein over it. It didn't. It's all so very deep. It's so multifaceted. I don't have enough superlatives for it. I really don't.
Excellent interview. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling, Jerry. Let's go to a wild card line and see how wild it is. Good evening. You're on Coast to Coast AM.
John.
Yes, sir.
Namaste. My name is BJ. I'm from Ohio. And what you prefaced this section with calls relating to furthering the, you know, general good and everything. I think I got something that's just right up your alley with that.
Hit me.
Are you familiar with Fire the Grid at all?
Not really. I'm not going to tell you that I am. I'm not.
Okay.
Tell me about it.
Basically, the website's firethegrid.com, and on July 17th of this year, this has, you know, been years in anticipation, on July 17th at 11:11 Greenwich Mean Time, that's the time that's set. And this, you know, I'm not going to, you know, spend time going into the story because it's on the website there, but for 1 hour, everyone who hears about it all around the world is going to spend the same hour in meditation, doing whatever, you know, it is that they, you know, want to do, but 1 hour focusing their energy on the center of the earth and everyone else, and in essence, firing the grid, that exists, between people.
Hey, why not? Why not? Yeah.
Why not?
No, I mean, why not? It could happen. Now, that's 11:11 at night, Greenwich, no, wait a minute, 11:11 Greenwich Mean.
Right.
Yeah. On what date?
July 17th.
July 17th.
Yeah, so like in a month.
Okay, now what's supposed to happen?
Well, the thing is, the whole story behind it is just absolutely incredible.
Give me the Cliff's Notes, DJ.
Okay, basically, she had a car accident with her son, and she tried to get her son out of the car, and the car started filling up with water, and she started breathing in water. And then she heard voices telling her to just, you know, stay calm, relax, and everything would be okay. And she had this entire revelation from light beings, as she described them. And her son had total organ failure. And, the doctor said, pull the plug because it's totally hopeless. And what the light beings directed her to do, and this is her first gift, as she describes it. And the second gift is fire the grid on the state. And people came in around the clock and put their hands on her son, and he made a full recovery.
Gotcha. Now, this information is available in depth on the site?
Right, yeah, firethegrid.com.
Fire the grid?
Exactly, firethegrid.com.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for the tip, man. I'm going to give some other people a shot to do some chatting, but okay, we'll check out that site, and hopefully it won't crash the server. Where do you want to go? We'll go west of the Rockies again. Let's do it. You're on Coast to Coast AM. How's it going?
Hi, John. This is Tuesday. I'm calling from Phoenix, Arizona.
Tuesday. How's it going?
It's going very well. I wanted to comment on Ray Bradbury. Thank you so much for having him on. I'm such a big fan. And Ray, if you're listening, I love you. You have always been one of my heroes. John, my favorite book that he wrote was called October Country. I wanted to tell some of the listeners who haven't read it yet to please get the book October Country. My favorite story in it was called The Emissary, about a little boy that was bound in bed. He was too sick to get out of bed, and he would send his dog out. Oh, it was so good. I don't want to give away the ending.
I understand.
But get the book, October Country. If you haven't read it yet, go out there and get it. It is such a heartfelt book. It will be one that will change your life.
All right, Tuesday. Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend. Thank you very much for calling the show. You know what we're going to do? We're going to take a little break right now. We're going to come back with more of your calls. John B. Wells in for George Norrie. This Coast to Coast AM. Stand by. Good evening, and thank you very much for being with us here on Friday night. I know you got a lot of things to do, but what a wonderful family you are. And really, I don't have the words. Some very, very kind messages over the onto the email box here. I knew Ray Bradbury was loved by many, but it's really something to sit in the center and watch it swirl around. I want to get to a bunch of calls because I want you to do your thing, because the show is not about me. It is about you. But I would ask you to hit me real quick so we can get a lot of people on the air. Okay, so let's go east of the Rockies right now. Good evening to you. You're on Coast to Coast.
Hi there, John. I'm really happy to hear you as a host.
Thanks, sir.
Your voice comes through just wonderful.
Well, that's good.
And I'm so glad you had Ray Bradbury on there. I'm sorry. It's Wade, and I'm calling from Montana.
Yeah, that's quite all right. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind, my friend?
Well, I just wanted to say I love Ray Bradbury. I've been reading his books for years, and he's been one of my greatest inspirations. And I hope he's listening.
I'll bet he is.
I thank you very much.
Thanks. Let's go to a wild card line. Good evening. You are on Coast to Coast AM. What you got?
Hey, good evening, John. Pleasure to speak with you.
Mutual, I'm sure, sir.
Thank you, John. John, I'm really enjoying your show, and I hope you'll return to my airways soon. Do you have your own show in L.A.?
You know, I do not. I'm just kind of a freelance guy. Yeah, the way I explain it is that I really don't have the time in earth years to live all of the lives that I would like to live, so I just get a little bit here and a little bit there and just hope that it all gels into something that...
You're a man for all seasons.
Yeah, I'm trying, man, but, you know, sure. It's like they said in the movie The Outlaw, Josie Wales, maybe they'll forget you.
I'm not going to forget you, John. I think there's some millions of people that won't. You're very distinctive, and you have an excellent radio voice. I don't mean to overflatter you, but you are outstanding. I can tell that right off.
Well, thanks very much. Hey, what do you think about our future? Where do you think we're headed, just in brief?
Well, you know, John, coincidentally, that I had one main request of you to make a comment on a general subject matter, and I think that the topic of that request, you'll answer your own question to me and many others here, I think, because I believe it's the control mechanism on a day-to-day, hour-to-hour, second-to-second basis throughout the year and every year, and has been for, if not millennia, at least many centuries, that entity called the Illuminati. And I found it to be a true entity in my research for the better part of my life. And I could tell early on in the show, John, that you're certainly a bright light and a live wire. And I'd be very interested to hear what you have to say about the Illuminati, also known as the Great White Brotherhood, and some of the many facets of its control, its influence, and its interaction with this earth and all of the life upon it. And I'm sure I'll find that to be very interesting. I could speak on it myself, but I believe you have at least as much of a grasp of it as I do, in all probability. And in closing, John, I'd just like to mention and ask you a question. Is Project Blue Beam, familiar to you?
Blue Beam?
Yes, so it's Blue Beam Project, or Project Blue Beam. It was described by a guest of George's earlier this week as a holographic image program, which is planning in the near future to counterfeit the second coming of Christ as well as a UFO invasion of Earth. And this was a gentleman named Stuart Svedlow, and his website is www.expansions.com. And I thought you might find that very interesting if you didn't catch that show. He's a former test subject at the Montauk Project, just off Long Island on Montauk Island or Montauk Point.
Oh, yes. You know, this is something, this is a subject that's absolutely so deep that it require, I mean, potentially so deep that it would, I think it'd be
a, its own show.
Yeah, it really is. But you know what? I'm going to write that down, and I will do some research. At the present time, I could eat up so much of this time with rather. I think that's what I want to say.
Yes.
With you know, pontificating over the Illuminati and some of these other things. There are some very powerful and mysterious forces at work on the Earth, and it's very easy to become distracted with the rudimentaries of our daily lives and so forth. So, and that's why this show exists, is because when it gets dark and when it all calms down, we change into slightly different people.
That's right. We become more malleable to the truth. I think we can concentrate. When we hear truth, it really sinks in a lot deeper, and we can recognize it, some of us even.
I have the distinct impression that George is going to grab a hold of this one and probably run with it in the not-too-distant future as it becomes more and more present. I'm going to have to ring off now and grab another line.
God bless you, man. Thank you very much.
God bless you, sir. Have a good weekend. Thanks for calling. Let's have another wild one, shall we? Wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. What's up?
Hi, this is Chris in Lafayette, Louisiana.
Hey, Chris. How's it going?
Going great. Look, I had a question for you. So what if you had heard any predictions about the hurricane season for the coastal Louisiana area?
Well, you know, man, when the experts are baffled, you know what the rest of that is, don't you?
I guess you're baffled too, huh?
Well, I'm baffled too. I mean, I heard it said one time that when the experts are baffled, they're not experts. But I'll tell you, they're more expert than I am. And you know, some have predicted higher than normal temperatures in the southern states. The humidity levels are very, very high. There are a lot of disturbances atmospherically. But the thing is in the end, weather prognostication is pretty accurate, but it's not a dead certainty. So it's like, I would say, given the amount of rainfall going on in the southern states and the amount of damage, the recent flurry of tornadic activity and everything else, I would say that the odds have it, if I were a gambling man, that we're liable to see one. But then again, we may not, because there are so many forces that act upon this planet that produce our weather, and they're variable, and they're very difficult to track. These high and low pressures systems come and go. They materialize out of nowhere, and it's hard to keep track of it. But look, let's put it this way. They're going to be more on top of it after Katrina and Rita than they ever were before. So it's like, I'd say keep a NOAA weather radio close by, and if the thing goes off, leave. Okay, have a good weekend.
All right, you too.
West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast AM. Hit me.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How you doing? What you got?
All right. I'm Vincent from Fullerton, California.
Hey, Vincent.
Hi. I was just curious. Do you believe in? Do you believe yourself? Believe in UFOs?
Well, I'll just go on out on the clothesline and say I don't see how there couldn't be. To me, I'll give you two quick ones, and here they are. Yeah. The short answer is yes, I do. I can't imagine that the vastness of space would permit anything other than large menacing craft that occasionally make their way into a proximity to Earth. But I'll tell you something I saw just a few months ago. I'm serious about this too. I have no embellishment here. This is the truth. I was standing in front of my house, just been to dinner, and a friend said, John, would you look at this? And I just looked up into the sky. The sky was mostly overcast, but it was broken, and I could glimpse the darkness of the sky behind it and a good number of stars. Well, all of a sudden, as if I disturbed a piece of lumber, and little spiders were crawling out random, no formation at all, came about 18 to 25 little craft that looked just exactly like stars. If they had stopped, they'd have been camouflaged among the stars. I never heard a report on it. We're going to take a little break here, and we'll be back. In for George Norrie, John Wells with you, Coast to Coast AM. We'll be back. It's really great to be to be wearing these big shoes. I mean, I look like I'm walking through here in big clown shoes. I said that the last time I did the show, but these are big shoes to fill. George Norrie's shoes are huge shoes to fill, and it's just a gas being in here. A gas. I like to use that expression just every once in a while, kind of keep it alive. Look, there are some people who are sitting on the wild card line and the east of the Rockies line and all the lines here. Don't get impatient, because we're going to get to you as fast as we can. I want to talk to you. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to go ahead and go to get this little break out of the way so we can have a nice long conversational run. Would that be okay? Get a drink of water or whatever is your preference. Get yourself a little snack. Sit back, and we will be back here in just a couple of minutes, and we shall, together we shall get it on Friday night in L.A. and everywhere else. Good evening, everybody. John Wells in for George Norrie tonight. Let's go right away to our first-time caller line who has been patiently waiting. Good evening, and what is up with you tonight?
Is it me?
It is you. It's okay. All about you.
All right. Thank you, John. About a year or so ago, my name is Sharon. I'm from Oroville, California.
Okay, Sharon.
I'm a novice writer. I lead our Easy Writers group in Oroville. And a while back, there was a writer on that used to write for Star Trek. And somebody asked a question about how did they come up with the idea for the holodeck, you know, where you can go into a room and it can be anything. And they said that, he said that it was from the book by Ray Bradbury. And by the way, Ray Bradbury, I love you. It was from a book from Ray Bradbury, and the story was called The Veldt. And I had read that story in the 50s. And all I could remember was there was a room where the kids went in, and then there was lions in there, and somehow or another, the lions ate the parents. And I couldn't remember the whole story. But when I heard about it on Coast to Coast, and I knew that there was such a story, I had missed the name of the story, The Veldt. I stayed up until Coast to Coast repeated, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning so that I could catch the story again. And I sat with pen in hand to write this down. And it said it was The Veldt, and that's all I knew. So I went online, and I searched, and I searched, and it turns out it was from The Illustrated Man. And I talked to many people about the story, and so many people had heard about this story, but nobody could tell me what it was. So I was so thrilled that I learned about it on Coast to Coast, and I'm just internally indebted to Coast to Coast for that, and to discover that it was Ray Bradbury's book that had brought that, you know, gave me that hunger, you know, to write.
Well, that's great.
When I was a child.
That's fantastic.
And
well, that's kind of part of it, isn't it? It's we need inspiration. We need to inspire others. We don't need to. I mean, I don't mean to like wax hippie here, but it's like there's enough negativity out there to go around for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you can turn an incident into a brawl, or you can turn it into a happy little thing where both parties walk away going, you know, that was interesting.
Yeah.
And it's all about the little extras.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, listen, don't go changing. Keep listening.
Okay, and I'm going to keep writing and see what I can do.
Don't give up, because as a matter of fact, on Ray Bradbury's site, he'll talk about how many rejections he got before somebody finally took him up on it, and just look what happened, okay? Have a good weekend. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast AM. What is on your mind tonight?
Hey, John.
Hey.
Nice to meet you. This is John.
Hey, John.
Colorado. Basically, I just wanted to get out there that we're using obsolete technologies in this country to make ethanol from corn.
Yep.
And I guess there's only a 20% fuel to feed efficiency.
Something like that.
Yeah, using hydrolysis. And basically, like, you know, we should be using pyrolysis and using agricultural waste, long-stem perennials, or even hemp. And I mean, Brazil managed to get themselves off foreign oil, and I don't know. I just think it's disgusting.
Well, you know, I heard a rumor that both Henry Ford and Carl Benz both were not pro-petroleum companies. They wanted to run their vehicles on hemp oil, but we don't do that here. But maybe that happy day will come. Let's go west of the Rockies, shall we? You're on Coast to Coast AM. Talk to me. And everybody else. How are you?
Good. You're doing an awesome job. I think we should have a online vote to get you on as often as possible here.
Oh, well, I appreciate your saying that.
I'm not sure if you heard the show last night about the off-world stuff and the ancient creatures that lived on the planet. Did you catch any of that?
I caught little bits and pieces of it, but I knew it was going to be kind of a long night tonight because I was in the central time zone. I've come to the Pacific time zone, so no, I did not pick it all up, but hit me with the salient points.
Well, essentially, he talked about, you know, stuff's been going on with different species, some of them subterranean, some of them off-world, and
oh, yeah.
All too often, when they're talking about the negative intervention or activity from off-worlders, they're just sort of boxing them in the same corner, and it's unfortunate because I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Billy Meyer environment with the Pleiadians, and I also want to get your thoughts on crop circles, but with the Pleiadian situation, they brought to the attention of the contactees this Enoch prophecies, and I think they're a positive force or a positive communicative intervention there going on, and there seems to be a real sort of crowding in the skies lately, which you may have heard of some instances, and if you actually go on the Internet, there's stuff happening all over the globe. You can actually see a lot of video. So I just want to sort of put the word out that this hologram thing might be a sort of a what they call a false flag. So if they're going to put out a story that intervention is going to be phony and threatening right from the get-go, they're sort of setting us up for what I think is a reverse psychology thing where, in fact, these intervening individuals, for the most part, the positive ones I'm referring to.
We would just sort of reject them just out of hand? Is that what you're getting at?
I would say, stand up to the new reality, and you're going to have to deal with it one way or the other. And it seems that there's being a big power shift with respect to the Illuminati. They're cutting each other's throats right now because the gig is up for them, and they know that 2012 there's this phase shift, which makes us at our strongest point, and that's why they want to enslave us with Patriot Acts and all sorts of other barbaric, erosion of the Constitution, which is a God-given blessing for you people, and I hope you hold on to it with your heart and soul.
All right, man. Thank you very much for the call. We're going to go to a wild card line now because we want to get as many of our friends and family on here as possible. I don't mean personal friends and family. I mean the family of Coast to Coast. What's going on tonight? You're on Coast to Coast AM.
It's about time, you flea-bitten bum. I've got a question for you.
Well, then hit me hard with it.
Well, I'm going to hit you hard. I'd like to hit you hard, you no good. Listen. I can't stand the fact that you're all exalting Mr. Bradbury. You know, everything that comes out of his mouth is something wonderful.
This
about all the crumbs he's spitting on the fine police officer trying to protect America.
Wait a minute, is this the pit of sewage guy?
Excuse me?
Is this the pit of sewage guy?
Yes, this is J.C. Wester III bringing the light and the love of the Lord and telling you all you're going to the boiling pits of sewage for sinning. And I've got a question for you. And it's at what temperature, sir, do degenerate authors burn in hell?
Oh, I'd say probably about I don't know what's the temperature of hell, Zabel? Do we know? I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
It's an infinite temperature of pain and misery, and they boil in the boiling pits of sewage.
Hey, I got a question for you. All right, hold on. I want to ask you a question.
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Suave.
All right. Well, thank you. What is this fixation on boiling sewage?
It is because the excrement of the world has all been channeled down into the center of the earth, hell. It's because the sewage, the human sewage that is littering our environment and our nation and our country and our world, it's where you're going to be put and boiled alive over and over, and your skin is going to be ripped off and dipped in salt, and your tongue is going to be hammered with nails over and over for saying things against God's will.
All right, well, I'll take that under advisement. In the meantime, I'm going to see if I can find...
Don't you take that condescending tone with me, boy.
No, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. Let's not get ugly here. I'm listening to you, aren't I? I haven't dumped you into the boiling pit of sewage, have I? I haven't sent you into the black astral hole of oblivion, have I? I don't believe I have.
You are a servant of the devil's mouthpiece, and you are heading straight to hell. Express elevator to hell going down. It's going to be you in the boiling pits of sewage, not me. I don't have to take insultation from a second-rate, third-rate nobody. You get Nora. You get Bell back on the air, or I'm never going to call again.
Okay. Bye. Was that the wild card line, or was that the, it was, wasn't it? Is that why they call it the wild card line? Okay, I get it. Let's go. Wow. That's cool. I was hoping he'd call. I wondered, where's the boiling pit of sewage guy? There he was. Wow, Bradbury and the sewage guy tonight. All right, let's go to another wild card line, and let's see what we get there. You're on Coast to Coast. I'm waiting.
Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you. My name's Chris, and I'm calling from Ledore, Idaho.
Hey, Chris, what's going on?
I'm a little scared to say this because people are going to think I'm crazy or they're going to think I'm lying.
No, they think I'm crazy for sitting here, so go ahead. Hit me.
Well, I have a double entity.
Okay.
This happened about 5 years ago. My sister and her friends were playing with a Ouija board.
And then what happened?
I was sitting there just cursing it, saying I didn't believe in spirits and everything, and all of a sudden they moved the cursor over, and I guess it said that I was going to be cursed, and I kind of laughed it off and everything, but then all of a sudden I just blacked out, and I could hear this voice laughing in my brain telling me, now I'm going to be cursed with a damned soul forever. And I don't remember much of that night, but when I woke up, I was in the neighbor's house, and my sister and all of my friends who were like 10 times bigger than me said that I was picking people up with one hand, chunking them across rooms, and tried to kill my sister a couple of times. And ever since that day, I've had these strange nightmares, so much to where now I'm at the point I'll stay up for 4 days straight because I don't want to go to sleep. I see the same guy in my nightmare every single night talking about a prophecy of how he's going to use my soul to get back into hell.
Now, forget all about that stuff, man. Just, and I don't mean to trivialize your situation there, but I would say cut back on the sugar. And have yourself a glass of red wine, maybe, if you're of age and it's legal. And just try and get some Z's and get away from all that stuff and stop playing with that Ouija board. I'm going to go west of the Rockies now. You're on Coast to Coast AM.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, this is Lori.
Hey, Lori.
I'd just like to also say I love Ray Bradbury. He inspired me, my life, to write also. And thank you for being on the show. You're great.
Thanks for listening.
And I'm a long time listener. And JC, you need to have a bar of soap. Right?
Why not?
Just called?
Yeah.
Big Mouth? Yeah, he needs a bar of soap.
Okay, swell.
That's from Lori from Salem.
All right. All right, Lori from Salem. Take care. All right, let's go to another wild card line because it's so much fun on that wild card line. It's so wild. You're on Coast to Coast.
I'm wild. Hi, John.
Hi.
I'm Linda from Canada, your favorite country.
Ah, Linda from Canada.
Right. And first of all, I wanted to say, do you have a body to go with that sexy voice of yours?
No, actually, I am a hologram being transmitted from somewhere. I forgot where it is. It's so far off.
You are excellent tonight. Very good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good. Well, I just want to let you know what the Statue of Liberty is thinking about America today. She's no longer saying, give me your poor, your tired, huddled masses. Today, she's got a baseball bat, and she's yelling, you want a piece of me? That's what she's at today.
What's all this about the Statue of Liberty actually being modeled after Queen Semiramis, some Egyptian deity? Is there anything to that, you know, with a seven-pointed crown, any of that?
I never heard of that. I heard that was from Italy, wasn't it?
No, it was from France. They gave it to us.
I mean, France, pardon me, France, and they set it there, and that was the...
It was from Italy, she'd be leaning.
That was the hope, you know, when they came to America, when they saw that statue, they knew they were in the land of freedom and prosperity and riches.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Well, you know what? We're always working on ourselves. And one thing that I think is very, if I can just
say it.
Well, this is a very, very cool country because you know what? We push our own buttons and hang ourselves out on the clothesline and recriminate ourselves more than the rest of the world combined. And you know, I know that this country's made lots of mistakes because we're made up of human beings, and human beings make mistakes, but I still stand behind this. I think that in the last couple hundred years, certainly the last hundred, we've done more good for the world than we've done ugliness to it. I just, that may be idealistic and may be naive and it may be wrong, but that's what I think. So
no, John, we love America. We love the way that you have the true grit, the way you speak up, the way that there's the people there that, I'm telling you, there's a fire in a lot of those people there. When I hear, like, let's take our country back, I feel so proud.
Well, the thing about it is, I think we need some new ideas. I think that it's very easily, pardon me, it's very easy to be distracted. We have, I mean, there's everything. Everything is a continual distraction. And, you know, here's something else. Let me just wander off in this direction for just a second. You know these colors that we see everywhere? It wasn't too long ago that these colors were simply not available. You got a handheld device now that's got 260 million different colors. You couldn't get those colors. You know, red was a very difficult color to get. Purple was reserved for royalty. It was very difficult to make. Now, these colors are everywhere. We are under a continuous bombardment of stimulation from everything. Traffic, media devices, colors on signs, all these symbols and so forth. I really think there is something to this. Just you have to find the time to quiet your mind, to meditate, to read, to think, and turn inward a little bit so that once you turn yourself back outward, you actually have something to bring to the party. Is that too pedestrian?
No, I hear you and very well put.
Well, you have yourself a good weekend, and we're gonna carry on, hopefully, as a collective, rather than the little individual selves trying to fight these big machines. Maybe we need to just sort of like get some teams going. Let's go east of the Rockies, shall we? You're on Coast to Coast AM. Bring something.
Hey, Mr. Wells. You sound great on the radio. This is Tim from Kalamazoo.
Hey, Tim. Thanks.
Hey, in regard to, I heard just the end of Mr. Bradbury and speaking about love. And then I heard Sewage Man.
Oh, God.
what a contrast. And my thought was, and when we're going through a process here, people talk about past lives, and I don't believe necessarily in past lives. I've been who I am always. Now, what I was wondering is the idea of recreation and a continual process that, you know, Mr. Wells, if you don't understand what needs to be understood, whatever it does need to be understood, when this universe is collapsed and the Big Bang happens again and we're recreated and you go through your life again, and that's the deja vu that I think people have. They're going through their life again and getting the clues to what they need to do to move on to the next reality, which is based on love.
I think that's what it's all about. I think that let's just remember something. The thing that we identify as evil, the things that we call evil. Now I'm going to turn into the Reverend John Wells just for a minute here, but this is how I see it. Evil cannot create anything. It cannot create anything. It can only pervert, change,
exactly,
modify, or twist something that has already been created.
C.S. Lewis wrote, yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's where I am with it. And it's love conquers all, and it does. It's been repeated over and over again. You know, sometimes I say, beware the imaginary wisdom of the cliche. And then conversely, just because of that Pisces thing, I will say, well, look, the reason it became a cliche is because at one time it made a great deal of sense. So love conquers all. Keep it rolling, because we got plenty of the other, and we need more of the love and less of the other. All right, enough of this hippie talk, because I'm going to get into it deeper if I keep doing it. John Wells in for George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. We shall return.